one issue that got people in this city and county really, really angry was a proposal by the city of Indianapolis and Indianapolis Power and Light to help this French company with the blue electric car rental service. They wanted, the Indianapolis Power and Light wanted to spend $16 million. Actually, it was a little bit more than that. They wanted to spend a lot, $16 million to build charging stations for this French electric car company that the French electric car company would own. And then they wanted all of the customers, particularly the residential customers of Indianapolis Power and Light, to pay for this. This elicited a firestorm of grassroots protests from the community. And it, then the city cut a deal. The city IPL, the French company, reached an agreement with the Indiana Utility Consumer Council, that's supposed to represent consumers, to say, oh, you all can pay only $12 million of all of this, and you can even get a year's subscription to the rental car company with the first 2 months free, just like you're buying cable or something. One group fought consistently, and that was Citizens Action Coalition, along with State Representative Cherish Pryor and NAACP and several others, saying, no, this is crazy. Why are we paying for something that a private company will own? Well, yesterday, the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission voted 5-0 to tell IPL no, 1,000 times no. In a bitter defeat, not just for IPL, but more importantly for the city of Indianapolis and the Blue Indy Electric Cars. Kerwin Olson is the executive director of Citizens Action Coalition. He joins me live. Kerwin, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Amos.
Usually, you know, utility companies go to the Utility Regulatory Commission. They ask for a lot. The amount they ask for gets cut down, but eventually the utility gets 50, 60, 70, 80% of what they want. In this decision, it's the first time I remember where a utility got very little of what they wanted, and what they got is something that's normal. Walk through the audience what the commission did. What did they approve, and is what they approved something they would normally approve if I wanted to build a factory out in the middle of nowhere in Pike Township?
Absolutely, yes. I think your audience and folks opposed to this Blue Indy project should be thrilled with this order from the commission. We really got an excellent order in which the commission unilaterally rejected Indianapolis Power and Light ratepayers subsidizing a private company, and moreover paying for equipment that was intended solely for the use of this private entity, and also would have been turned over. The ownership of those assets would have been given to this private entity, and the commission, as you stated, in a 5-0 decision, unilaterally said, no way, Jose. The commission also acknowledged the tremendous outcry from the public, all of the folks that went to the field hearing, all of the folks that called the commission, wrote the commission objecting to the subsidy, saying this is a service I'm not going to use, I can't afford to use, I don't have a credit card, and therefore I shouldn't have to pay for it. The commission heard it loud and clear. They acknowledged the outcry from the public in their order and gave it a significant weight in their decision. The only thing that the commission did approve was extension of lines to those charging stations, which is similar to, as you said, if you want to come into town and build a retail center, a strip mall, a factory or something. It's pretty standard for the utility commission to approve those line extensions to the facility itself. And that's really all that they approved, was the extension to these charging stations, basically saying that's infrastructure that is in fact used and useful, whether or not it's used by Blue Indy or some other entity. However, the commission did put a caveat on that approval of those line extensions, saying if Blue Indy should pull out, then IPL is going to have to refile another request for those lines extensions with further evidence. So the public should be pleased. The commission did the right thing. and rejected this enormous subsidy to a French corporation.
In reading the decision of the IURC, it's really the first time I really have read an IURC decision. I thought I was reading something from the Federal Communications Commission because I kind of read similar, but or a Supreme Court decision because. And you all work with the utility companies a lot. This was like a legal thing where in the document, and we're going to be posting the document on our website, praiseindy.com, they recount the evidence that both sides presented, the evidence that you guys presented, the evidence the city presented, IPL, as well as Blue Indy. So people that read this decision, even though there's some technical terms there, they can see what the issues were.
Absolutely. This is a good order. It's really easy to read. It's only 16, 17 pages. It's not that extensive. And when the commission issues an order, what they have to do is summarize how the case proceeded, summarize the evidence presented, and then make findings on that evidence. And I think the commission was very thorough in this case in explaining what evidence was presented, what evidence wasn't presented, and the basis for their decision.
A lot of the media coverage of this electric car proposal, this Blue Indy proposal, this French company, in reading the evidence that was actually presented under oath, this is no different than a court proceeding, the Blue Indy people said they didn't have a business plan, they could not produce how this thing is going to make money?
That's correct, and that's something that we and others, referenced in the case frequently. The city, also admitted that no business plan existed for the project, and there was absolutely no guarantee of success. And, part of the purported benefits of this was, an alleged so-called profit flow back to ratepayers. But the commission rightfully, noted that the evidence didn't display that there would be any profit flows back to ratepayers, and therefore they rejected the idea, as they should have.
The Blue Indy also said, okay, they got a service in Paris. They're trying to start up in London and in Indianapolis. London is a huge city. I think it's like 5-6 million people. Paris is, 6, 7, 10 in the Parisian metropolitan area. We're pushing 2 million in the metropolitan area, 928,000 here in the city. I can see how you can make money in Paris. I can see how you can make money in London. I ain't figured out how you can make money here.
Well, they didn't provide any evidence that they felt that they could. They were merely looking for a free ride on the backs of IPL ratepayers. And again, our objection to this case was in no way objecting to the idea of Blue Indy. If a private company wants to come in here and start something up and see if it can work and they can make a profit, then go for it. Just don't do it on the backs of hard-working folks here in Indianapolis that are struggling to get by and struggling to pay their bills. Spend your own money. Spend your own dime and see if you can succeed.
IPL is getting ready to go into a substantial rate case. How critical is this case going to be, and how important now that people see, my comments and my feedback can make a difference?
This IPL rate case that's currently going on is very significant. There's not testimony due yet for another couple of months to be filed. They will also be required to hold at least one public field hearing in this rate case. So I think that looking at the commission language here regarding comments from the public definitely amplifies that the commission's paying attention. The commission does listen to the concerns of the public, and I would also note there was a dissent from Commissioner Zigner on this case where he acknowledged the burden that this would place on working class and vulnerable populations. Moreover, he accepted a CAC's recommendation about allowing folks at 200% of federal poverty level or under to opt out of paying for this service. So we're getting some acknowledgement from the commission about the struggles of low and fixed income households in paying their energy bills, and that's a good thing because the rate case that IPL has filed really is discriminatory from our perspective with respect to low income and fixed income households because they're seeking significant increases in the fixed monthly charge that ratepayers will pay regardless of how much energy they use, and they also are charging higher kilowatt hour rates for the first, you know,
right.
300 kilowatt hours of electricity, and then the rates get less after that. So folks that live on a fixed income, don't use much energy, are going to get really slammed if IPL gets their request granted in this case. So it's imperative that there's a similar outcry, if not more, with respect to this IPL rate case as there was with the Blue Indy.
We're talking with Kerwin Olson with the Citizens Action Coalition, another one that was helping to lead this fight with State Representative Cherish Pryor. The legislature in session, she snuck out of the House chamber to talk to everybody. Representative Pryor, first of all, when they told you that this was a 5-0 unanimous decision to knock the cost back to a cost that is a normal cost if some new business is coming in, what was your reaction?
Well, Amos, I will tell you, I was completely surprised by the decision. And honestly, I'm still in a state of shock from it. I think they made the right decision. But I'm very, very happy with the decision, but very surprised.
Is this something where this sends a message to people here in not only in Marion County but other areas across Indiana that yes, consumers can have their voices heard on utility issues?
I think it does, Amos. It should send a very clear message to everyone. You know, you get your elected officials involved and you galvanize people around an issue that you can all agree on and stand strong together. And when you do that, the IURC will listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
I was very concerned, quite honestly, that they would not pay much attention to the issues. But as you probably read in their decision, the words of the people really spoke loudly to the commission members, and they heard them.
Is the, and I was talking just before you came on, Representative Pryor, with Kerwin Olson, about the next several battles, particularly IPL. He's concerned that, the way their rate structure proposal is, it would have a disproportionate effect on poor and working class customers. Is this another, gonna be another battle where the community needs to gear up?
Yes. I think any time there would be IURC or utility goes before the IURC. People need to get informed and speak out and not just assume that the IURC or the OUCC, quite honestly, is going to make a decision that is in their best interest. Now, I'll tell you, it's kind of going back to even the Blue Indy, I think this also sends a message to the OUCC as well that they need to stand firmly and strongly for the people that they're supposed to be standing up for.
And Kerwin Olson, the fact that in one of the dissents, one of the members of the Utility Regulatory Commission acknowledged that there could be an instance where lower income people are charged differently or less than other customers. Have they ever done an order that approved that?
Well, we do have in place with gas service what's known as a universal service program,
right,
for LIHEAP eligible households, where they receive a discounted rate for gas service when they're below 150% of poverty level. So they have done that with gas, but unfortunately, we have nothing similar when it comes to electric rates, and that's something that we're going to be discussing in our testimony in the IPL rate case, that it's long overdue where low and fixed income households get some sort of assistance and relief with their energy burdens, with their electric bills, because at the moment electric bills are fairly similar to what gas bills are. So we acknowledge that gas customers need help. Well, then so do electric customers.
So the fact that that language was in that dissent, that will help in future pleadings before the Utility Regulatory Commission.
Oh, certainly, yeah. We intend to use that language in future filings, no doubt about it.
Cherish Pryor, I know they're busy introducing amendments and having all kinds of stuff going on. What are y'all doing in the legislature today?
Oh, my goodness. We have a major bill that we're going to be dealing with charter schools on the agenda today. So we have probably 7-8 amendments on that bill. So we're moving through the agenda pretty quickly, though. So Hopefully we're not here that long in session, but we have some committee meetings after session is over as well.
Well, I hear somebody was applauding the speech. I'm going to let you get back so you don't miss a vote.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Karen. And thank you, Amos, as well, for looking out for the ratepayers. I really appreciate it. And thank all the ratepayers and customers for their support also.
All right. Thank you, State Representative Cherish Pryor and Kerwin Olson of the Citizens Action Coalition. Again, the blue, you won't have to pay for the blue Indy rental cars. And the only thing you might have to pay for, and it's, has anybody figured out how few cents a month this would be? But this would just to connect the electric lines to the charging stations, but that assumes we'll have blue Indy cars. And why do I think the blue Indy cars are going to go to Cincinnati or Louisville and not here? Guys, thanks very, very much. We'll